You know, I went from training 3 days a week, 30-minute sessions, to, you know, 2014, I was training 25-plus hours a week.
That's insane, though. That's insane.
You know, ultimately, money is always going to flow where there's awareness. Billboards, radio, TV. Now we all have this opportunity to create our own little reality TV show. And if we can entertain, inspire, add value, people will tune into that.
You're introducing ideas or whatever to other folks. Do you mind me asking what that looks like in terms of finances?
Yeah, I don't know. A typical brand deal ranges anywhere from per month, depending on, you know, how much am I acting as a growth agency for them. I feel like one of the overlooked things in wellness is how deep are your connections with people? How many great friends do you have? I really feel like there's something to that and your health span and lifespan.
What are your tips for people to go out there and actually make meaningful connections with other humans? My friend, Eric Hinman. This is a true honor for me to have him on the podcast. And the reason for that is because I think it's the first time I've ever seen him with a shirt on. Right now, he's in sort of a tank top situation. And usually what you see when you go onto like Eric's Instagram profile, it's just like this washboard six pack. And inside every six pack is another six pack. So it's like sort of one of the, what do you call it? Like a fractal situation where you just keep on going into various six packs. Eric is a buddy of mine. He does cold exposure, heat exposure, is often in Denver. And I wanted to have him on the show. Actually, it's because of two things. You know, one thing is something I saw on your Instagram profile, and that's going to lead us into the second thing, which is like a general principle that I hope we can get out of this. The first one is on your Instagram profile, you started posting these before and after photos of you, right? You know, in like when you were 27 years old, you know, Eric Hinman of the past, which was, you know, Eric's 43, guys. So 27, that's 16 years ago. Eric Hinman looked like the guy that you might see at, like in your office cubicle, like in your neighboring cubicle. He's that guy there who occasionally goes to like doing like one of those Tough Mudder events every now and then. Not a bad looking dude. But then there was this transformation where you look from Eric Hinman of 27 to Eric Hinman now, which is the fractal six pack. How the hell does that happen? Because, you know, one person noted to me is like, you could have easily just switched those photos to before and after, and it would be completely believable. So, Eric, how are you today sitting here where you are reversing aging? What have you done to do that?
Yeah, first, thanks for stoking my ego. I appreciate that. Keep the compliments coming. That's why you're one of my good friends. I love the compliments. compounding consistencies is the easy answer and the hard answer. When I was 28 years old, I hired a personal trainer because I had gotten pretty out of shape. My first career was in property and casualty insurance. I was driving 50,000 miles a year, selling insurance to campgrounds and marinas in upstate New York. And I didn't have a lot of education around diet, nutrition, exercise. You know, I had weightlifted in college. I played three sports in high school. I certainly had an athletic background, but I didn't have a lot of knowledge. I just, you know, I liked competitive sports, and then I liked weightlifting in college. And then I liked partying like a rock star in my late teens and early 20s. And, you know, that led to some poor decisions around sleep and eating and even exercise. I'm 28 years old, find myself weighing around 200 pounds and, you know, had a little gut at the time and didn't feel great. You know, I had a lull in the afternoon. I certainly wasn't living my perfect days and living with passion and purpose. I was kind of going through the motions, chasing the public perception of success, having the nice suits and cars and watches and nice place, but I wasn't fulfilled in any means. So I hired a personal trainer when I turned 27, 28 years old, and that ultimately gave me the knowledge and accountability to get back into good-looking shape. But I still was doing it more for the aesthetics during that time period. It was less about the feeling that I do it now for. So during that time period, over a one-year period of 5 days per week doing strength training and anaerobic conditioning, you know, I started losing some of the body fat, gaining some muscle, gaining some strength, and, you know, looking aesthetically pretty good. And I was basically doing CrossFit before CrossFit was a thing. I didn't know what CrossFit was back then, but CrossFit was emerging. So I was essentially doing the same thing, lifting moderately heavy weights with my heart rate elevated. And then, you know, that led to starting to run again. And through the running scene, I met some friends that had these really fancy bikes with four handlebars. And I was really intrigued by the bike more than anything. And I asked them,
what is a bike with four handlebars? I ride a lot of bike. You know, I hit 2,000 miles this year yesterday. I only have two handlebars. So what's going on there?
So triathlon bikes have four handlebars because there's two handlebars in the middle, so you can get down in the arrow position so the wind goes over your back when you're riding. So after seeing the bikes, I said, why do you have four handlebars? And they said, because we're doing a triathlon and this is a triathlon bike. So I said, okay, tell me about this triathlon. And it's a half Ironman that is coming to Syracuse, New York, the inaugural year back, I think it was like 2008, 2009. And they told me the distances, and it was a 1.2-mile swim, a 56-mile bike, and then a half marathon. And I said, you do that in a day? And they're like, yeah, people do it in 4 hours. I'm like, what?
That's insane, though. That's insane.
So I was intrigued. I'm like, I kind of want to get one of these bikes and do a triathlon. So I started – I got one of the bikes, and I started doing these – I joined a triathlon club in upstate New York and would do these mini triathlons every Wednesday in Jamesville, New York. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got addicted to it. I just started to associate the feeling post-exercise with exercise. It was no longer about the aesthetic. Mm-hmm. It was about, I just feel so on after. I have mental clarity. I have this new unlimited energy. I don't want to drink anymore. I want to get deep sleep. I want to eat well because I feel like I'm becoming the best version of myself. So, I mean, those little sprint distance triathlons led to an Olympic distance triathlon, a half Ironman, and then five full Ironmans, and ultimately qualifying for the Ironman World Championships in Kona. So that was 2010 to 2014. And, you know, I went from training 3 days a week prior to that, 30-minute sessions, to, you know, in 2014, I was training 25 plus hours a week. So, you know, I took it to the extreme and, you know, I got to the pinnacle of Ironman, the World Championships. Yeah. And I learned a lot of valuable lessons during that time period.
Well, one of the things that you said, like in the very beginning, is this power of compounding. What was the word you used? Compounding
consistency. Benefit.
Compounding consistency. So it sounds like what happened, like you had this inspiration to sort of like, hey, I want to get fitter. And then you had this small little chunk like, hey, I'm going to go work out with my buddies and maybe there's a goal for a triathlon in there. And then that like took over your life. Like you're it's like compound interest to the 10th fold. Cause when I look at your life now, you know, cause we've hung out quite a bit, you don't have a job. You have like a long workout routine that starts at like 8 a.m. and you've compounded, you know, and there's like two big workout sessions and there's a bunch of sauna, a bunch of ice. And then I think every night you grill, right? Your day is like remarkably consistent. How did this emerge into like what you're doing now?
I mean, it stemmed from those Ironman years where I had a lot of time to think, you know, 2 hour runs and 5-6 hour bike rides. These were by myself and it created the space necessary to realize how I wanted to design my life so that I felt truly fulfilled, so that I had a full cup and ultimately so I could give back and start attracting opportunities based on this new lifestyle. So that's what it stemmed from, was lots of time alone in nature, exercising and having this really narrow aperture of almost like a psychedelic experience of like, okay, this is what I want my life to be like. And I'm going to start designing my life around wellness practices instead of work and chasing more money. And ultimately, I mean, that has brought me tremendous opportunities and a whole new line of work into my life, but it wasn't based around figuring that out first. It was based around becoming the best version of myself. And a lot of that was through movement. Movement is medicine is the moniker I live by now, because I truly feel like we were meant to move and move often. And with all the movement I do, you know, the recovery practices are crucial as well.
Yeah, let's get into that for a second, because, you know, one thing which is, you know, when I think about aging, right, you know, as you get older, there's this idea that you're going to, performance is going to decline. It's going to take longer to recover. And eventually you're just, you're going to fall to pieces, right? You're going to become this decrepit mummy and just things are going to fall off your body and it's over. It's a steady decline. That's not, I mean, while undoubtedly we will all, that will all happen, there are ways, it seems, to continue with a good performance as you age. Mm-hmm. And one, I want to know what those are from you, but two, there's always, my fear is as somebody who, you know, I do some working out as well, not like you, but like I'm out there, I do bike riding and what's not. One thing that I'm hyper aware of is that as I get older, if I injure myself, that's going to be the thing that ruins it. Like, you know, half of my friends in Colorado who are in their 40s are like, well, I'm on my third knee replacement. I don't have an ACL. And, you know, there's rubber bands holding my spine together. How do you avoid the injury that will derail your progress?
Yeah, we had this great conversation in the sauna about this, where in those Ironman years, it was unhealthy. I'm so glad that that did not become my lifestyle because I was too far in one dimension and I was using exercise too much like a drug to fuel my well-being to an extreme. I thought I had to go for a run in order to get that runner's high. I thought I had to go for a 5-hour bike ride to get that high from exercise. It was way too an extreme and my body paid for it during that time period. I didn't feel my best. My cortisol levels were high. My testosterone had dropped tremendously. So even though, you know, the perception from social media is that I work out all day, my volume is much less than it was during that time period. And I'm more concerned with what can I do each day, but then back it up again the next day. And, you know, a portion of that is certainly fueled by the recovery routine of, you know, doing the contrast therapy, being in hot saunas and ice baths every single day to rid my body of the inflammation I build up. But I'm also doing much more strength training now, much more anaerobic conditioning and much less aerobic conditioning. So I found this balance that works really well for me, where I get that mental clarity and that energy from exercise, but it's not to the extreme of a 5 or 6 hour ride. I mean, I very rarely do more than 90 minutes of aerobic cardio in a day. And I very rarely do more than, say, 15 to 20 minutes of anaerobic cardio in a day. And most of the anaerobic cardio I'm doing is not a CrossFit Metcon. It's intervals on an assault bike. It's body weight movements. It's not complex movements where, you know, there's lots of skill involved. And, you know, if you hit a snatch wrong at a 170 heart rate, like, there's some issues with that. So I found
it's funny when you say that you're like radically decreasing the amount of working out you do. You're like, well, I won't do more than 90 minutes of cardio. And like, I'm going to guess you listener here right now are like, 90 minutes of cardio, that's what I do in a week. Like, you're not saying you stop working out and you're actually taper down. But it's like what you're saying is that you used to be like a monster, like someone who really did work out 5 hours a day, but you found the place for where it does work for you. I wonder though, how does somebody else like duplicate these results? Because I mean, you ain't working when you're doing that, right? You've had to manage your lifestyle so that the work and the love of the stuff, like the money somehow like blends.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, exercise is built into my schedule every day from 8:30 until 10 or 10:30 in the morning, and then at least 60 minutes of aerobic activity in the afternoon. I mean, piggybacked off of each of those workouts are 2 to 3 hour work blocks. So I time my workouts prior to any cognitive tasks because I know I'm going to be sharpest and most productive then. I'm very rarely sitting around not doing something. It's either going from workout right to work, or it's going from work to recovery and then recovery to meetings to eating food. And there's some multitasking in there as well. I mean, you know this. I take all my meetings in a sauna. So if someone reaches out to me, you know, I invite them over to come and sauna at the house. That's where we can meet in person. I time block, so all of my calls are during certain time periods, podcasts during certain time periods. And I mean, a lot of my role is content creation. So, you know, even though I'm exercising for 3 hours, that's a lot of content that I'm shooting during that 3 hours where I'm just documenting what I'm doing. And that can be reused for a lot of the brand deals I have.
Yeah, you know, obviously not everyone can do influencing, but I think one real interesting nugget here is that for many of us, and I've been working from home for basically 20 years, for many of us, especially after the pandemic, there has been this shift where you're able to live at home and suddenly your time is yours. And I find that I'm super efficient in like really short bursts. Like honestly, I get done in a day. If I'm on for 2 hours, like I can get a lot done. And then my brain is like, fuck off. You know, it doesn't want to do anything. And that's when I do my 2 hour bike ride. Like that's when I go off and then my brain can recover and my life is better. And it does seem like that is a hack that a lot of people can, you know, wrap their head around instead of like sitting on the couch and like dicking around on the internet. You're like, no, forget that. I've got these, you know, routines, these things that I do that really change me.
For sure. And I mean, you know, I call my mountain bike rides each day my moving meditation. That's where I get my best ideas. I'll have 5 incredible ideas while I'm out there mountain biking. So while I'm not sitting on a computer working, I'm getting incredible creative ideas from those workouts I do. And, you know, I pick certain things because I know they're going to fuel that creativity. So mountain biking, for example, there's risk associated with it. You're in nature. Mm-hmm. And because of those two things, there's this level of presence that you get from doing it. So I like to pick activities where I know they're teaching my mind to be in the present moment. And that carries over to other things in my life where in this podcast, I'm with you for the full 65 minutes because I have trained my mind not to be constantly distracted. And we live in a society where there's distractions everywhere now, our phones going off, our watches going off. So we have to do these things that retrain our mind to be completely present.
Totally. And that's like the one of the fundamental things that I wrote about in The Wedge, right? Right. You with a little bit of an element of danger, you know, with mountain biking, right? That's going to focus you. And that's going to force all of your actions to get better, your mind to get better. And it is becomes a meditation because you get into this flow state. Yeah, I love that. And, you know, I do the same thing, but not on mountains. I do it on road bikes because y'all don't have to be as intense as Eric. You know, actually, here's an anecdote out of nowhere. This is really funny. So I bike a ton, right? And this year, I haven't talked to you about this because I was slightly embarrassed. I'm like, dude, my times are getting worse and worse and worse. And like, I would do this bike ride from my house to basically your house in Golden. And it used to take me like an hour and a half. I would just go and it would be cool. It's like a 26 mile, hour and a half thing. But this year I've noticed like, oh my God, it's getting so much worse. And I was doing like 2 hours to get there. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I'm wiped at the end of this stuff. And then 2 days ago, my wife, we were walking around REI and she's like, you should get a new bike. A new bike would be cool. And we just saw like a random new bike. And then I did that Golden ride and I made it in the same time. I just crushed it. It was like an hour and a half again. Mm-hmm. And it's because sometimes it's not you who are worn out. Sometimes your bike is worn out.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, your tire pressure could be low. You can buy speed on a bike for sure. I mean, a carbon bike with carbon wheels, you're buying 3 miles per hour.
Well, I don't think I didn't actually get a much more expensive bike, but yeah, don't make me feel bad, Eric.
Good. I'm saying you're a great rider. You just need more expensive equipment.
That's like photographers. We're like, don't worry. It's not the skill with photographers. You just got a better camera. All right. So this other thing that you're doing, which I thought was pretty cool, which was, 60 friends in six, I think it's 60 friends in 60 days. You move down to Austin. You're like, hey, I'm going to get 60 friends. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's awesome about hanging out at your, like, and it's a vibe that I don't get with a lot of other people. It's that you're super welcoming to people who want to hang out with you. And you're like, come on over. And like, you know, you can't work out with me, whatever, hang out, pet my dog. I'll be working out. And then there's the sauna and there's the ice and like, whatever. And it's really like a nice vibe there. And you've done something really awesome about creating a community around you and getting like friends and like honest, like good interactions with folks. And I think that this is a real problem, especially with dudes in the world that we live in today, where people are lonely. People do not know how to go out and like make friends, you know? How is it that, what have you learned by doing, you know, these challenges and like, what are your tips for people to go out there and actually make meaningful connections with other humans?
Yeah, I mean, joining community-based things where there's shared passions and like-minded people. So for me, CrossFit gyms, bouncing around to CrossFit gyms. I always meet new people when I'm stopping into a new CrossFit gym. You know, there's that shared passion, and there's this level of respect, too, in doing something hard together where you form these deep bonds. I mean, we've created an environment that attracts people. You know, having our backyard as this community-based gym and having a sauna in our backyard and ice barrels. And I mean, I truly love connecting with people. So I think, you know, you need to enjoy connecting with new people. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't, then that energy is going to come across to others if you're standoffish. But I mean, the hack is joining community-based places, a gym where you can interact with others, joining a gym that has a sauna and ice baths so that you can meet people in these captive environments where endorphins are racing. And then, you know, ultimately, I think the biggest hack is creating your own, where you can host in ways that you enjoy hosting people. Like that could be barbecue. That could be things outside of working out and sauna and cold exposure. But those are massive passions of mine that I enjoy hosting people to do.
And now word from our sponsors, by which I mean you. Thank you for being here. And I wanted to say, if you really like the stuff that I do, it would be great if you could support the show on Patreon, where you'll get early access to new videos and a lively community talking about, well, the weird things that I talk about on this channel. It would mean a lot for me if you could check out the link down below and, you know, see if this is right for you. But if it doesn't, you know what really also helps me? If you like and subscribe and hit that bell icon, the algorithm really, really cares, and it gives a massive boost to let my channel spread all over the internet. Without further ado, back to the video. One of my favorite things about sauna, ice bath recovery, all of these things that I've written out in the past, is that it's not just recovery, autoimmune, and anxiety work, right? It's also this deep hanging out that you get with people, right? When, you know, and Laird Hamilton has this thing called the truth barrel, right? He would go into the sauna and say, look, we're going in the sauna and we are all getting hot, we're all getting sweaty, and now and it's difficult. And then I don't know what, your brain gets loopy and all of a sudden you start having amazing conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, obviously there's science to it. I'm much more of a feeling based guy, but the multitasking without multitasking, I go back to that where I feel like the sauna has brought me some of my best friends because I've had some of my deepest conversations in the sauna. There's this combination of being in a captive environment where you can't have your phone, it'll overheat in 5 minutes, with the discomfort from the sauna, your core body temperature rising, your heart rate rising, your endorphins racing, and it really does become this truth barrel. You become very vulnerable with the people that you're in the sauna with, and that leads to incredibly deep conversations. So it goes back to why I always do my meetings in a sauna, because I know we're going to have the best possible conversation that we could inside the sauna. So it's such a community bonding experience. And you know, Finland, often rated as the happiest country in the world, and there is a sauna for almost every person in the country. And so many of their deep conversations happen in the sauna. And I feel like one of the overlooked things in wellness is how deep are your connections with people? How many great friends do you have? I really feel like there's something to that and your health span and lifespan.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. It's what is missing, I think, in culture in general right now, is that we do not value human interactions. We value likes, we value things that happen on the social medias. We've sort of capitalism and just sort of the idea, the way we've monetized the world. You want to outsource all these things that we used to have with communities, and we're starting to think that we're not part of a community. And a thing that's so cool about the sauna is like, yeah, your cell phone doesn't work very long, 5 minutes and it's toast. You can do this and you can hang out and you don't have to be drinking, because America is a huge drinking culture, right? You can go in there and you get the same sort of difficult thing. You like it with, when you take a shot of whiskey, there's that bite. The sauna gives you that same bite. That sauna still gives you that thing that you're doing something hard together. You don't just have to poison yourself to do the hard thing with other folks.
with no repercussions. You know, you're going to get better sleep that night, which is going to give you more energy and more mental clarity the next day. You'll probably make better, you know, wellness decisions. You'll want to exercise. You want to eat healthier. So there's this snowball effect in both directions. And, you know, I've spoke a lot about consuming alcohol over the past few months, you know, sharing my story of partying like a rock star in my 20s, but ultimately finding wellness, and wellness fueled that same vulnerability that I would get from consuming alcohol, but with no consequences to it and massive benefits.
What is your best day ever challenge that you do? Is it a challenge? Is it a philosophy? Is it you? What is the best day ever?
Yeah, best day ever is a challenge for others to find their best day ever. I think that's different for everyone. A lot of that is the environment that you're in, the people that you're around, the conversations you're having, and the activities that you're doing. So, you know, 15 years ago, during those triathlon years, when I had a lot of time to think, I designed this list of things that brought me positive energy when I was just completely in the moment. I felt like the best version of myself. I was giving value and getting value. I wrote down the people where I had flow state conversations, the environments that I was in that breeded these, you know, flow state moments. And then I did the same for things that drained my energy, people that drained my energy, conversations that drained my energy, environments that drained my energy, activities that drained my energy. And ultimately, you know, it was a process. It didn't happen overnight, but I wrote out this list of here's my perfect day. These are the types of people I want to be around. Mm-hmm. This is the environment, being in the mountains where it begs us to be in nature. And these are the activities I want to be doing. I want to have enough time that I can work out a couple hours a day, that I can sauna and cold plunge. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the holy grail is figuring out how to then take that, your perfect day, and monetize it or monetize a portion of it.
All right. How do you monetize it, man? Like, I want my best day ever to be, you know, yeah, having fun all the time and good conversations, eating great food, you know, having great sex, you know, whatever. Like, how do I do that?
Yeah, I mean, you're already doing that. You know, this podcast obviously is a place where you build a large enough platform and you have an audience. You know, brands or ads, they're going to be run on your channel because you have a lot of eyeballs on it. So, you know, that's ultimately what I've created, is a lot of eyeballs and a lot of awareness. So money flows where there's awareness. So you can do that a million different ways. I put on community events. I do a lot of in-person stuff. We've set up our house here as the in Austin, Texas. We've, you know, now relocated for a few months to do exactly what we did in Denver, in Austin, where there's already a massive wellness community here. So we know it would be a great place to attract people into what we do in Colorado. And we give out products to people. We seed swag bags to everyone. We have QR codes throughout the house. So, you know, we have figured out ways to be memorable and differentiate ourselves in this world of content creation and influencing. But, you know, ultimately money is always going to flow where there's awareness, whether, you know, billboards, radio, TV. Now we all have this opportunity to create our own little reality TV show. And if we can entertain, inspire, add value, people will tune into that.
Yeah. When I hear that, Eric, to be honest, like something in my stomach like clenches up and like a sour egg that I had just eaten, because there's this sort of idea in the world, you didn't come up with this, right? That you can social media your way into like basically a pyramid scheme where the people at the top can have best days ever all the time. And yet the rest of the world, you know, an audience means they're watching you, and that means they're not doing the things that create the means to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to fault you for doing that, because I'm psyched the way you've made your lifestyle. But is there something that is here for like the ordinary person who doesn't have to, like, I don't want to have to be a fucking influencer. Like that is my least favorite idea in the world, is to be someone who's like on my own reality show. It does not appeal to me at all. Mm-hmm. How can we do that without playing that social media Ponzi scheme game?
Sure. I mean, you have a personal brand, and then you have your own products. You have books that you sell. So you built
buy my books. buy yeah. my book. Okay.
You built a personal brand that generates awareness. And while you might not be working with other companies, you're selling your own products. So obviously that's an avenue. Ultimately, mm-hmm. having a personal brand is going to be valuable in many different areas of your, however you want to monetize it down the road, whether it's your own products, your own services, that's one way to do it. I always encourage people to just side hustle outside of what mm-hmm. they're currently doing. You know, if you're not enjoying your day to day, and keep in mind, like, I wrote a chapter of survival. I wrote a chapter where I did not enjoy my 9 to 5, 5 days a week. I was very much surviving on the weekdays and then, you know, thriving, partying on the weekends. Mm-hmm. I worked to play. And, you know, it took me 7 or 8 years of building that insurance business to have some residual income where I could start taking risks and mm-hmm. start realizing what I really wanted to do with my life, to find fulfillment and ultimately to monetize that fulfillment. So I think the mm-hmm. biggest key in all this is just being mindful of whether you're just going through the motions and, you know, you're someone else's to-do list and you don't want to be that and you want to eventually own your own business, create your own destiny, mm-hmm. and then starting working your way towards doing that. You know, what I've done is one way, but there's 100 other ways to do that. So it's just being mindful, you know, how can I start turning these things that I really enjoy, these passions of mine, into something I can create and monetize, find product market fit, and then, you know, build marketing campaigns around it. I mean, a lot of what I'm doing too is advising. I mean, I'm more of a consultant right. than an influencer now, where I help these brands raise money. I put money into a lot of them. I'm helping them build ambassador programs. I'm doing community events and I'm doing wellness retreats. And it's yeah. gone way beyond just posting a picture on social media and getting paid. And I enjoy all of that. I am not complaining whatsoever, but it's yeah. not as easy as just posting a picture and getting paid thousands of dollars.
Damn it. No. all right. Let's get into that though, because that's super interesting. I think that people have this idea how that, and I know that when they see, like, I have a successful video, they're like, Scott, you just made $1 million. Like, I have a video that does like 2 million downloads. That's amazing. It made me $5,000, right? So how do you transfer? Like, what is the life of an influencer really like on the day to day? Like, what is a brand deal? Like, what is a brand deal?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, a brand deal for me looks like a combination of creating content and creating awareness for the brand. And then also seeding product, helping them identify other people that could be spokespeople for the company, helping them find smaller micro influencers that could also generate awareness, seeding product in person, setting up experiential events, community events, wellness retreats, where we're getting the product in front of people. And, you know, helping them on the business side too, of, you know, here's people that invest in early stage wellness brands. Here's mm-hmm. people that invest, but also have distribution channel access. They have knowledge that you'll need down the road as you scale. Mm-hmm. You know, here's a whitelisting agency that's done a really good job for other brands. For me, it's really a lot of connection making over the years. Yeah. Again, going back to that, I'm in Texas, I'm going to meet 120 plus people in these 60 days mm-hmm. that we're here. So, you know, you do that over 10, 12 years, you've amassed a massive network of people, and you've also True. Weeded out the good and the bad. So mm-hmm. I have this network of people where I've seen these guys do great work. These guys don't do as good of work. I'm going to introduce you to these guys that can help you grow your brand massively. Yeah. So, you know,
it's funny that 60 friends in 60 days ended up being a great plan for, you know, making the sorts of connections that you need to that you have monetized through. I mean, basically you're introducing people to other people. That's what an event is, right? That's what influencing is. You're introducing ideas or whatever to other folks. Do you mind me asking what that looks like in terms of finances? You don't need to answer that question if you don't want
yeah,
to.
No. Yeah, I don't know. A typical brand deal ranges anywhere from 2 to 4K per month, depending on how instrumental I am in helping that company build their ambassador program, raise money, you know, how much am I acting as a growth agency for them?
Mm-hmm. But you don't just do one brand deal. You probably do, I don't know, 30 brand deals that are sort of on a rotating schedule. Would that be the right word?
Yeah. So I'm careful with who I work with. One of the big components is how well does it fit into my life? Is it something mm-hmm. where I can easily create content for them around my lifestyle? So I am playing in the wellness pond. I'm working with mm-hmm. wellness-based brands. You'll rarely see me working with anything outside of the wellness business, because ultimately I want to keep my days the same as they are. I don't want to go out of my way to create content for one of the brands. I want to be wearing the brands that I work with. I want to be using the brands mm-hmm. that I work with. So it makes mm-hmm. it really easy to create content for them. And then I've also been really careful with the size of the company I work with. I want to work with smaller companies that I deem to be the latest and greatest, that I think are going to grow tremendously because they've come out with either a unique product, they've come out with incredible branding, they've started building an amazing community, and I want to be a part of putting them on other people's radar. And I want long-term relationships. I want 2-year deals, 3-year deals. Mm-hmm. And in order to get long-term relationships like that, I need to provide ROI, return on investment. So mm-hmm. I am picking earlier stage companies where I know my network and the awareness I can generate for them, the people I seed product to, the wellness events I put on are going to be really meaningful to that company. I don't want to be a billboard. I don't feel like I'm providing much ROI if I'm just a billboard mm-hmm. for a multi-billion dollar company.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's this similar advice that I give to people who are wanting to get into writing, right? So if you're an intro level reporter, you're just getting your career started, don't waste your time doing writing that you don't want to do. Like, don't write for writing's sake. Don't write, don't do celebrity profiles if you want to be an investigative journalist, right? Don't do food blogs if you want to be covering politics. Like, better to cover politics badly and then become a politics guy than get stuck and then get branded in a way that you don't want to be, right? And because what you do is ultimately what you are, right? Yep. You get defined by that activity. And that's pretty interesting that works for you. And also it makes a lot of sense how all of these different components that you were talking about before sort of come in together. You live the life that you want to live. You get your message out there, you meet a ton of people, and then those people form a certain value base underneath it as well.
You got it. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, ultimately the people I'm identifying underneath me are also people who, you know, are buying into the brands that I'm promoting and they love the brands. And, you know, that's on me to make sure I continue picking good brands to work with so that others are really interested in wanting to work with them.
How do you have the energy to do it and you don't burn out though?
Exercise a lot. I really feel like energy fuels energy. So that's a huge part of why I continue to train. The volume I train is because it yields this incredible energy and mental clarity to be able to take on a lot. But also, you know, as I've grown, delegation, automation, and elimination, you know, I've started to build a team around me. I have people now helping manage all of the messages that are coming in. I have people helping me with these community events. So, you know, I've had to ask for help and I've had to, you know, I did this before. I was managing 3 or 4 businesses and training for Ironman. So during that time period of 2010 to 2014, I had to get really diligent about structure. So that taught me how to build my day around things I can only do and I can do best, and then delegate, automate, eliminate everything else. So I've started to do that with some of where I'm at now, to be able to, you know, only I can go out there and meet the people I'm meeting. Only I can have the conversations with you and the conversations I have with brands. So I think through, like, what are the things only I can do and I can do best? And what are these other things that I can start to delegate to other people, you know, getting people to send products for an event. That's an email someone else can send. You know, there's lots of things other people can do that I've been in the mix doing. And, you know, you have to eventually delegate that once your head goes through the ceiling with where you're at.
Who are the people who influenced you the most in creating your lifestyle? Like, who are the people you look up to for as thought leaders in your world?
Sure. I mean, other people that do this really well are Devin Levake. Jesse Itzler has built an incredible brand and tremendous community events and, you know, products around his own personal brands. Brian Mazza, HPLT, has done a great job of creating community around himself. And I like people who have multiple facets of influence, you know, where they you know, they act as a growth agency, they act as a consultant, they are an athlete, they can influence themselves through their own personal brands. You know, they've invested in companies, they have their own personal brands they've created. So people like that influence me heavily. You know, from a science perspective, I certainly tune into Andrew Huberman like others do to learn things about why am I feeling this way after being in a sauna or after exercise. You know, guests that you would have on, I listen to, you know, your content that you put out. So I like listening to people who not only understand the science, but also do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's super important because I find this all the time. There's people who are experts who in the ice bath world. I know so many experts who are scientists who've never taken a freaking ice bath. It's like, come on, practice what you preach, or else, like, if you can't actually get into something, then what are you actually talking about? Do you have anything of value to say if you've never experienced it? I totally jive with that. Well, Eric, what would be one piece of advice that you'd want to give to people, and where do they find you in the future?
Yeah, I mean, the advice would be movement is medicine. Again, it's created so many opportunities in my life and also gave me the space and time and the mental clarity to figure out how I want to design my life and how I feel fulfilled and who I want to be around. So, you know, be mindful of those things, whether you're going through the motions or whether you're really living a fulfilled life. And wellness-based activities for me were what led me to the life I have now. Instagram is the best place to find me. My name on Instagram, Eric Hinman. Love talking about this stuff. And, you know, I answer DMs, so please DM me, and happy to answer any questions you guys have.
The dude really does answer DMs. Like, I kid you not, you go slip into his DMs and tell him something obscene. Tell him something that he's never thought of before. Awesome. Eric, I really appreciate you being here. This is a blast. Go find Eric, Eric Hinman. You're just Eric Hinman, aren't you? You're just Eric Hinman. Everyone, it's Eric Hinman. All right. Thanks ever so much.